There is this resolution of loving the Lord, where the psalmist says, I love the Lord. And you'll notice there that immediately there follows two causes as to why he purposes to love the Lord. He says, verse 1, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. And then verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. So he's mindful of what the Lord has done for him in hearing his cry and bringing deliverance to him, and how the Lord had heard his voice and his supplication. Well, we can certainly empathize with that. That's what makes us the people of God. The Lord heard our cry. And what a mercy that was. In this psalm, he highlights the mercies of God. For example, in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. And when we think about the Lord hearing our cry, hearing our voice, our supplication, well, surely that's an example of mercy. That God would ever tune his ear to hear our cry. Why should he hear you or I? There was nothing in us, nothing that made us any different from the rest of humanity. And yet God was pleased to hear our cry. When we even take a step back and think about, well, how did that cry come about in the first time, in the first place? It was because of the grace of God. As the psalmist says, the Lord is gracious. Because as we know, people can be in trouble but never call upon the Lord. Sadly, we see that in our own nation in these past for years it has been the case, but it has been certainly emphasized very much over this period of time with the virus. There's not a mention of the Lord. In all the need and all the difficulties, there's no turning to the Lord. There's no acknowledging of the need of the Lord. There's no calling upon the Lord. So people can be in trouble and never call upon the Lord. Never and ever does it enter into their head that they're going to cry unto the Lord, that somehow the Lord could help them, that somehow the Lord could intervene for their deliverance. It never enters into their thinking. So the very fact that there would be in the first place a desire to cry unto the Lord has to be acknowledged as being of the Lord. For there is no good in us. There's no thoughts of God, as the Bible tells us. Not natural. Oh, we people have a thought of a God, but not the God of heaven. Not coming on the terms upon which he has revealed himself in his word. There's not that acknowledgement, that willingness in the human heart. So therefore, the very fact that there originates in our hearts a cry to the Lord is an acknowledgement of his grace and of his mercy. And the psalmist is conscious of that here, evidently, when he's saying that these two causes that he mentions in verse 1 and 2. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. So the psalmist is conscious the Lord has heard him. And even the thought of, well, the Lord has put the desire in him in the first place to call upon the Lord. The Lord has inclined his ear. Is there the picture there suggested to us of the Lord bowing down his ear? It's certainly expressed in some of the other psalms where the Lord is called upon to bow down his ear and hear the cry of his people. You think of somebody who's weak or elderly and their voice is weak. Maybe they're not easily heard, and somebody has to bend down over them to actually hear what they're saying. Maybe their voice is only a whisper. Maybe even a faint whisper. It's nigh impossible maybe to make out what it is they're saying. And somebody's bowing down their ear, bending their ear over right down to that person so that they could get every word that an individual is saying. Is that the picture that is presented here by the psalmist? The Lord has inclined his ear. The Lord has bowed down to our weak, helpless cry. And because of this, then the psalmist says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord.